and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
You all right?
Not too bad, you?
Surviving.
Yeah.
Surviving.
Despite everything.
We are still managing to be in a room together without infecting each other with the deadly coronavirus.
Yeah, I woke up to a tweet the other day from Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon Musk.
Yeah, I don't follow him. It was just recommended for me, this tweet. I don't know why. Yeah. The tweet said, "The coronavirus panic is dumb."
And dumb?
Dumb. And I thought, you know what, Elon, that's a bit glib, I thought, because, you know, it's a big problem all over the globe. It, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have been infected, people are dying. It's a bit glib to say it's dumb. By the end of the day, I had completely changed my mind.
Go on, then.
It is dumb. I was going about my day, and I get a text from a mate who says, "Have you seen what's going on in Sainsbury's?" I said, "No, what are we talking about?" He said, "Well, I've been to 3 different supermarkets today. Can't buy toilet roll."
Well, it's amazing, isn't it?
For love nor money.
I was in Sainsbury's yesterday as well. Not one roll to be seen. And this was like a big Sainsbury's as well. This is a huge Sainsbury's. Not one roll to be seen.
So I thought, oh, well, this is surely some sort of mini little London crisis. I'm sure it'll be nothing because I live way out in the sticks.
Yeah.
So I popped down to my Sainsbury's. Not a roll on the shelf.
No.
Pasta, gone. Dog food, gone.
Rice, gone.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah.
People are panic buying for some reason, and it's spread all over the UK.
People are going mental, right? So I went shopping yesterday, couldn't get toilet roll, and I then spoke to my brother, and he said that he'd heard that Sainsbury's had been shut yesterday because of fights over the toilet roll in the morning.
Fights over bog roll.
And I've seen videos of people in Australia fighting over toilet roll. I mean, what is wrong with people? And do you know what really annoys me? Is that this isn't people, you know, this isn't a huge number of people going to get toilet roll. This is probably a fairly small number of people buying all the toilet roll.
Yeah.
I mean, what is wrong with people? I've not read anywhere that this coronavirus gives you the shits.
No, that's a very good point.
For a start. And also, you're going to be so clogged up with pasta and rice, you're not going to be able to go anyway.
Well, Mrs. Ben was doing some research on this, and she said that the supermarkets are reporting that only 1 in 10 customers is panic buying. But that has a big knock-on effect. Mm. When you think about it logically, because now I'm seeing everyone buying bog roll.
Yeah.
And I'm not panic buying bog roll because of I'm worried about the coronavirus.
You're worried there's not going to be any when you need it.
Exactly. Yes. Now I'm worried about the shortage of bog roll.
I know. I mean, this is what I'm thinking. I've got 4 rolls left.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm thinking I'm all right for a bit. But the next time I see some toilet roll on sale, I'm picking it up.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's ridiculous. People are mental.
I bought some spaghetti the other day. I didn't need 2 packs, but I bought 2 packs because I thought, when am I going to have spaghetti again?
And I look, you know, we know the coronavirus it's going to spread and, you know, it could be quite dangerous. But let's have a bit of perspective, people. And also, can we not, you see, for me, it just shows what a selfish, I'm all right, Jack society that we've created. Because it's people going, well, I'm all right. I've got, you know, I saw a video online, admittedly this was in Australia, of these women fighting over these toilet rolls. And the woman, one of the women just wants 1 pack.
Fair enough.
The people who are fighting her because she wants to pick up 1 pack have got a shopping trolley full of all these multi-packs. The shopping trolley has nothing else in it. How many do you need? And how selfish is that? And I'm sorry, it's a sign of modern Britain as far as I'm concerned. Selfish, I'm all right, Jack society.
It's astonishing that when the zombie apocalypse finally hits us, bog roll becomes currency.
Yeah, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that? I was thinking, you know, if something ever happens, obviously food's going to be the thing. But no, it's shit roll.
Yeah.
I can't understand it, mate. I cannot get my head around it.
And the problem is, I saw not a roll on the shelves yesterday. So I thought, well, today's Sunday, as we record this, and I thought, my Sainsbury's opens at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
I'll go down there and I'll have a look around, see if there's any restock.
Did you?
And I thought, the problem with them restocking is people who get there are going to think, oh, can't believe my luck, toilet roll, and swoop it all up again.
You know what's going to happen though, don't you?
What?
Like, people are going to be selling it in pubs like drugs.
Oh yeah.
Going, hey, you want some toilet roll, do you?
Yeah. 2-ply. 3 sheets of it.
I've got the perfume type. I mean, this is what's going to happen. People are going to start selling your toilet roll. You're going to have to start doing dodgy deals down alleyways for toilet rolls.
It's good shit. It's quilted.
Yeah. You'll be walking past going, Chanel. No, it's not Chanel. What's that?
Cushelle.
Cushelle. Chanel. I mean, honestly.
So, of course, by the time I got to Sainsbury's, it had been open for 20 minutes. I got there at 10:20.
Yeah.
And they had restocked, and it was almost gone again.
Oh, fuck me.
So I grabbed a multi-pack, obviously.
Yeah.
But I only grabbed the one.
Good. Well, at least you've got some.
I've got some.
I mean, how much are you willing to sell a roll for?
Well, I mean, like we say.
I've only got four left. By this time next week, I might be desperate.
The stocks and shares and drinks must be going through the roof at the moment.
I mean, you've got to wonder whether they've spread it.
Whether a conspiracy for you.
I mean, they set up some scientists. We want to create some sort of new, the softest roll you could ever use. You know, they're crushing up puppies there. And within the lab, they've somehow created this new virus.
That would be genius, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What you do is you leap on the bandwagon of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Then you send some of your staff out with a load of money to panic buy, stock up on the toilet roll.
Yeah.
And then you start spreading the rumours that people are stock buying. Yeah. And then you've just made a wave of people buying your shit.
I wouldn't put it past them, mate. I wouldn't put it past them.
A PR genius.
And also, like, you know, the hand sanitizers. The gel stuff. I didn't even look for them, but apparently that all the shelves are empty for those. And I was told yesterday that some shops, and I'm assuming not the supermarkets, but some shops are now selling them for £13 a bottle.
Really?
Yeah. And again, it's just profiteering of the. You know, we're in a bit of a medical crisis.
Yeah.
And we just sort of people are going, well, we can make money out of this. Brilliant. That's the amazing.
I watched an episode of Only Fools and Horses the other day.
Yeah.
And Rodney makes a joke about Del Boy going down to the scene of a riot to sell them bricks. And I thought that's kind of what's going on.
Look, I've been of the mindset with the coronavirus up till now that it's all hype, all scaremongering. Because the news channels fucking love it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they? They fucking love it. They've got to talk about it for 24 hours a day because that's how long they're on for.
Yeah.
So it's just like coronavirus scare. It's, you know, I mean, I get breaking news alerts on my phone when there's another case diagnosed. You know, it's like, come on, people. I know it's serious, but it's. So I've been on that mindset. I must admit, this week I've changed that slightly because it does seem to be spreading more and more.
Mm.
And, you know, it's getting a little bit nearer home. Yeah. You start thinking, oh. But then I think, well, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, well, the worst that can happen is I'll die.
Yeah.
And at least then I haven't got to go out and get toilet roll. So, I mean, there's some bonus to that.
That's true.
You know, but most likely, the worst that's going to happen is I'll have to stay indoors for 14 days. Fucking bliss, mate. Fucking bliss. And the trouble is, you know, I'm not really into the capitalist way of thinking.
Yeah.
Where everyone wants to make money all the fucking time. Why don't we just say, because all the news I've heard this week is, oh, it's awful. There could be a fifth of the workforce off at the same time, it's going to cost the country billions. So fucking what? Just stop the country then. Just say, do you know what? We're going to give everyone a month off. Everything's just going to stop.
Yeah.
Right? You can still go to the shops, but you will be limited in what you can buy. There'll be a rationing of toilet roll.
Yes.
You know, we'll go back to almost like a war setting.
Yeah.
We'll ration toilet rolls. We'll ration pasta. You can still go and pick it up. But we just, basically, that's an emergency. You don't have to go out unless, you almost have to have a pass to go out shopping. And we just close everything down for a month. But now I can hear the people go, well, how's the country going to make money? We're gonna, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? It's just fucking money.
I tell you what, and I'm not a big company boy, but they could give the contract to Royal Mail and the postman, well paid, of course, could deliver bog roll to people. So there is no more bog roll for sale. You get it rationed out to you.
That's not a bad idea.
There you go.
And you have to have your hazmat suit on.
Yep.
You can walk around delivering toilet rolls with your hazmat suit on.
Of course, the posties would need to be properly compensated for such
a
risk,
wouldn't they? Here we go. You're suddenly jumping on the bandwagon, aren't you?
Of course.
I'm not going to let Andrex have all the money. Unbelievable. I tell you, the other thing I read, which is I couldn't believe, is that the hand sanitizers are being stolen from hospitals.
Really?
I mean, again, come on, people. Come on. What is wrong with you?
I know, but people...
I'm quite angry, by the way, this week.
Yeah, I can tell.
You know, I hope this is still going to make people laugh, but really, I'm just going to rant for the next hour. If this podcast, if you're not really into hearing me rant for an hour, you just skip to one in the past or hold off for next week, because I'm just so angry about it.
That's not the first time that hand sanitizers have been abused at hospitals either, because I remember when I lived in Croydon, our local hospital, they had to change it from a liquid gel to a foam because all the local alcoholics were coming to drink all the... It was ridiculous.
It's unbelievable, wasn't it? And the other thing is, you know, I'm not a fan of Boris Johnson, as you know.
Really?
Yeah. Why do I need him showing me how to wash my hands?
Has he done that?
Yeah. He was on, I saw him on the news this week, and it was like, it was set up, the Prime Minister's been demonstrating how to wash your hands, and he's like, happy birthday. And I was thinking, fuck off, mate.
I have to sing happy birthday to wash my hands.
You have to sing happy birthday twice, 20 seconds. Maybe you need it, mate. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you need Boris Johnson to tell. But I mean, he doesn't give a shit about us.
How many times does he have to sing it to get the grime off him?
Well, I thought he's probably also washing the blood off his hands for all the people who've died from the cuts that his government brought in. Do you know what I mean?
Wow, proper political satire.
Satire, right here. I know last week we mentioned football injuries.
Yes.
Particularly injuries that aren't actually sport-related.
Yeah.
And thank you very much to Chris, who has sent me a list of some of those famous injuries.
Oh, good.
Now, the one that I was trying to remember last time was the... Do you remember the one about the guy who dropped a jar of mayonnaise on his foot?
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember who it was.
Who was it?
Well, it was legendary keeper Dave Besson.
Okay.
And I've probably done him a disservice, because it wasn't mayonnaise.
All right.
It was salad cream.
Okay.
And I knew it was back in the 90s. So he was, I think he was playing for Southampton at the time, and he dropped a jar of salad cream and then tried to cushion it with his foot, smashed on his foot and severed the tendon in his big toe.
Ooh.
I don't know how long he was out for, but I'd imagine that's quite a long time out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to be out, you want it to be through some kind of macho thing, don't you?
Yeah.
Not just trying to save a jar of salad cream.
I think
I'd salad cream go, Dave. Let it go.
You should have done that. But I think as well, if that happened to me, I think it sounds like quite a pathetic injury to begin with. So I think I'd at least switch out the condiment. You know, I'd say it was English mustard, you know, proper hot stuff. That's what fell on me foot.
Would you?
Not salad cream.
It wouldn't make any difference what the condiment was.
I'd go for a more manly, yeah, definitely a more manly condiment. Something that puts hairs on your chest.
Okay. Oh, well, fair enough. I mean, you know, I don't touch condiments really, so it doesn't bother me. Now, the other one I was trying to remember was a more recent one where I thought it was another food-related one, but it wasn't. It was Marco Asensio.
Okay.
And he missed a Champions League game for Real Madrid. I think it might have even been this season, or it was certainly last season, after getting an infected pimple after shaving his legs.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Why would that stop you playing?
Well, it might be quite a painful pimple.
It's a spot, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know how bad. Yeah, but I mean, perhaps it had gone septic or got infected. I don't know.
But why, even is, if he a spot gets infected, why is he shaving? How bad can that be?
Well, yeah. Why is he shaving his legs?
Aerodynamics. It makes him go slightly faster.
He's not swimming. Do you know what I mean? It's the vanity of the modern footballer.
No. You're being unkind there.
Why am I being unkind?
That's how you get to the Champions League, mate. You've got to think of everything. You've got to make yourself aerodynamically faster. You've got to give yourself at the edge over everyone.
Is that why I'm not a winner?
Probably.
You know, because I don't think about those things.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I didn't get to the top of the radio game. I didn't shave my legs.
You never know.
Because there's a sort of inbuilt passion and desire that comes across by that sort of commitment. Fair enough. Here's a couple of others that I really, really enjoyed. Famously, in the 1970s, Manchester United goalkeeper Alex Stepney dislocated his jaw. I mean, this is a sport. It was at least in a game.
Yeah.
This, but he dislocated his jaw while shouting at his defenders so much. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, how much do you have to be shouting?
Yeah.
Mind you, I got in a rage in the car yesterday.
Did you?
And I was shouting so much that perhaps, I mean, I don't know how close I was to dislocating my jaw, but I could kind of imagine that when this pure rage kicks in.
I mean, I know that he needs to shout instructions to his players, but it sounds like he was in a bit of a rage with them. And I think if someone gets himself into such a rage, but you know, screaming at someone and they dislocate their jaw, I think that's a bit of karmic justice.
He's here.
Yeah. Being a dick.
Have you ever injured yourself through anger, though?
I probably, like, in a fit of rage once hit something or slammed something. Yeah. That's probably hurt my hand a bit, but not really.
Twice I have.
Yeah.
It was twice that I can think of off the top of my head. Once was, I was so angry that I punched a wall a couple of times and my knuckles were bleeding.
Now, of course, I would say, what were you hoping to achieve?
It was just a release. It was a release of the anger.
You probably weren't thinking clearly at the time.
No. And the other one was, I'd been out. It was my mate's, I think it was his stag do.
Right.
Right. And we'd had a really nice night and we just wanted to get back from Leicester Square to Victoria Station.
Sounds easy enough.
And we got on the bus and I don't know what happened. Like, I got on, there was only three of us, I think, there. I got on, the other guy got on, and then my mate, I think it was him, I don't know, he didn't have any money on his Oyster card or... So they didn't let him on the bus.
Right.
And I was like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. Do you know what I mean? And they wouldn't take cash on the bus because they don't now.
Yeah.
So we all had to get off. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. Well, we're only going 10 minutes on the bus. Come on, mate. Let us on.
It's not a charity. It's a bus.
Oh, fuck him. Do you know what I mean? And so I was so cross about it. I was so angry.
I can tell you're getting worked up about it again now.
And I kicked a bin.
Right.
On Oxford Street. I can't remember whether I kicked it over or not, but I hurt my toe so much. I don't know if I broke it. And then I had to hobble to Victoria from Oxford. I mean, it took us hours to get there. And the next day it was all swollen and my toenail went black.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, so rage can be, it can be a very, debilitating thing.
Now, I don't know the answer to this, but do pro footballers still get paid if they injure themselves with a completely non-football related injury?
Yeah, I'm sure they must.
They probably do.
I'm sure they must. Because I'm sure insurance would take care of that, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Mind you, wouldn't insurance pay out if you said I caught a jar of sauce on my foot? And well, don't do it then, you mug. It's your own fault.
Yeah, but your foot would probably be insured, wouldn't it?
Well, if you deliberately put it under a falling jar of sauce?
Is it I mean, you'd probably argue as a goalkeeper, it's pure instinct. Do you know what I mean?
No, pure instinct for a goalkeeper would be to catch it, surely.
You use your feet as well as a goalkeeper. I mean, come on, Ben. You know, it's not just your hands as a goalkeeper, it's your feet, it's every bit of your body. You put every bit of your body on the line as a goalkeeper. I know, I used to play in goal every now and again. I mean, it was dreadful, but I used to play in goal.
So we got any more?
Here's another, this is a classic. Danish goalkeeper Michael Stensgaard, who played for Liverpool for a while, he was forced to retire. Not just miss some games. He was forced to retire.
This is going
to
be a corker, isn't it?
After suffering an acute injury to his shoulder whilst attempting... Let me see if you can guess what he was attempting to do.
Okay.
It's an acute injury to the shoulder.
Yeah.
So what sort of thing might you do that's not sport-related that would bring that sort of injury?
Okay. I'm going to guess he was climbing into his loft and fell off the ladder.
No, although there is another footballer that did that.
Really?
There is... when I was looking through this list, there was one. Yes, there was Richard Wright, who was, again, another goalkeeper. I think he played for Arsenal briefly, actually.
Oh.
He dislocated his shoulder after falling backwards through his open loft door as he was packing away his suitcases after a holiday.
Okay.
But not old Stensgaard.
What did he do?
Bear in mind, he's got to retire because of this. Now, he suffered an acute injury to his shoulder whilst attempting to fold down an ironing board.
Oh, you bird. How have you hurt yourself that bad?
They're quite tricky, aren't they, an ironing board? Do you know what I mean?
How much force was he imparting on it to dislocate his shoulder?
Well, I don't know.
Wow.
But I mean, I've just got rid of an old ironing board. It was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You know, I can imagine that it would be quite tricky if it's one of the old really hefty wooden ones.
Now, I don't know much about this keeper, and I'm imagining you don't either, but I'm hoping this wasn't, you know, the end of a glorious career. I'm hoping that, you know, he'd was coming to retirement age anyway, and he wasn't cut down in the prime of his life by the ironing board.
I don't know. I'll look up. I'll see how old he was when he had to retire.
Okay, I'm thinking a good age for a goalkeeper is around 40.
Around 40, yeah, I'd have thought that's a decent age. I mean, even 35, you'd say, well, he's had a decent career.
Hmm.
Let me see. He did actually play on after Liverpool, though, looking up his stats now.
Oh, good.
But not very much. He went to play back in... he played 17 games for Copenhagen.
Right.
In 1996. And then another 19 games for them up till 2001. But he retired. He was only about 20... What was he? 25, 26
no
when
age.
He retired. So, you know, that ironing board... Put a big cost on his career, that, didn't it? Let's be honest.
Dude, imagine that, killing the cash cow of your career. Wow.
Again, like, when you go into the dressing room, or you go and see the manager, because you can't play a game, or you've got to retire, say, look, boss, I've got to retire. And, you know, you can imagine the Liverpool manager going, "Is he away?" You know, what's wrong? Because it was Roy Evans at the time. I think he's more Welsh, actually. But, you know, he's going, "Is he away? What's wrong? What you done?" Like, you know, I was doing the ironing. It's like, "Stop right there, you fucking idiot."
It's wandering a bit, that Scouse accent, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm not very good at the Scouse accent. Calm down. Did you hear about comedian Joe Lycett this week?
Yeah, I saw the story. I didn't really read too much into it, though.
It's absolutely brilliant. He's changed his name by deed poll to Hugo Boss.
Okay.
And this is in protest against the multi-billion pound fashion giant Hugo Boss, who've basically taken to task a number of small businesses who want to use the word boss.
Right, okay.
And they basically say, "Well, no, that's ours." It could be very confusing to people. Now, one of the companies that Joe Lycett is particularly keen on helping out is a brewery who I think wanted to call one of their beers Boss Beer.
Do Hugo Boss own the copyright on the word boss?
Let me see.
Well, they must do, otherwise they couldn't enforce it. It's like, I think it's Taylor Swift copyrights a lot of words and things. And
I think she does, you're right. Yeah,
stops people using them.
Now, to be fair, I think Hugo Boss have said that they've been in discussions with the brewery and there was a kind of agreement made and it was all okay in the end. But to say that there's a confusion between Hugo Boss, the fashion designers who make, what do they do, aftershave as well, do they? I don't really know what Hugo Boss do.
I think so. I'll tell you one thing they did.
Yeah.
You might have to edit this out of the podcast. So,
right, okay.
Because I'm 95% sure this is correct, but if it isn't, it's incredibly libelous what I'm about to say. So
right.
We might need to fact check it and it might need to be taken out. But it's not the worst thing they've done because I think Hugo Boss were responsible for designing the Nazis' uniforms.
Right.
Mm.
Okay, well, let's have a look at that. the thing is, how do you know if this is absolutely true?
I think I got that from QI once.
Okay, well, I'm on the Wikipedia page for Hugo Boss.
Right? Yeah, I'm not sure it'll be on their Wikipedia page. They might have got that removed.
Well, number four in the contents is support of Nazism.
Okay.
Boss joined the Nazi Party in 1931. 2 years before Adolf came to power. Does it say he made the uniforms? Yeah, they did. They produced the black uniforms along with the brown SA shirts.
There you go.
So yeah, if you... I'm assuming they denounced now.
You'd hope so. Probably not keen on people pointing that out, are they?
Shall I leave it in the podcast?
Yeah, why
now
not?
Now that we fact-checked it.
If it's true, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. So I think I'm going to call him Hugo Boss because that's what he wants to be known as now. He's not Joe Lycett. He is Hugo Boss.
Yeah.
And I think he's doing a Channel 4 programme. And I just thought this is a wonderful thing because, you know, I started this podcast in a bit of a mood, ranting about, you know, the state of the world, really. And again, isn't this, again, another case of it where, you know, the little company that's just trying to make their way in the world, they're not a threat to the big people. Again, like, you're not going to confuse, because I think their thing was like, it could cause brand confusion.
No, it couldn't.
If you're buying a beer, you're not confusing that with aftershave, are you?
No, if I'm in a pub and I'm asking for a Boss beer, I'm pretty sure I won't be thinking, hang on a minute, what if they give me a pint of aftershave?
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
I think there was recently a guy who owned a little independent, you know, sort of convenience store. And I can't remember what he called it. Was it Morrisings, I think he called it.
That's right, yeah.
And did they make him change it?
They did, but then he changed it to something equally brilliant.
Well, he changed it to Sainsbury's.
That's it, yeah.
And Sainsbury's have been all right with it. I think they're quite happy.
But yeah, they welcomed it because obviously it's a genius PR thing to do. Don't be the horrible people that force him to change it.
Yeah, yeah.
Be happy with it. PR, again, PR. It's all about PR. Even this Hugo Boss story.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a bet you they're secretly pleased that everyone's talking about Hugo Boss.
Well, of course. And you'd have thought they would now owe Hugo Boss some money for the PR that they're getting.
Who, sorry?
Joe Lycett. Well, I'm calling him Hugo Boss. That's his name.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Come on, sorry. Mate. Keep up.
You lost me for a second. It's very confusing.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. There's so many Hugo Bosses about. That's the problem, isn't it? Live and let live. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless someone is causing your business a lot of damage, unless they're denigrating your business in some way.
I think that's what the problem with this story is. It's just so bloody petty.
Yes.
Just let people get on with it. Come on. I tell you who else is extremely litigious when it comes to their own copyright and things like that. It's Walt Disney.
Is he? Well, no, not him.
Not him personally. I think he's been gone for a while now. But I've heard of stories, again, I'll say I don't know how true this is, but I've heard of nurseries having to repaint their walls after getting letters to say you're infringing on our copyright by having Mickey Mouse painted on your wall. Yeah.
Again, I mean, if that's true...
It could be an urban legend, but I think it's true.
If it's true, let it go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Again, I think that's a Disney song I've just put in there.
God, they're going to get some letters from the Disney people now, aren't we?
But, I mean, that's just madness. When I worked in the school, the letter came through, and I was sort of in charge of all the technical stuff, but why I was asked about this, I don't know. But the head of the school came to me and said, oh, Trev, what do you think of this? And it was from the whatever the agency is that licenses the use of showing videos and films in schools.
Right.
Right. And I said, well, I wouldn't pay it. I said, well, there's no reason to be paying it. And the thing was, if you're using the video or footage for educational purposes, you don't need to pay the license.
Okay. Right?
But like things like a wet lunchtime.
Yeah.
That if you want to show a video to a class because they can't go out in the playground, that doesn't count as an educational use of the video. So for that, you should have the license.
But can't you, as the teacher, just say, right, let's all wink-wink this one through. It's wet play, so we're going to have a lesson, and it's going to be film studies, and then just flick on the video. What's wrong with that?
Well, I said don't pay it. I said you could argue anything you're showing a school is for educational purposes.
Yeah.
You know, just absolute nonsense. It's not like you're doing a film company out of a load of money. Do you know what I mean? I think most film companies, they're doing all right.
Yeah. I think so.
If I want to show, like, Bambi to the kids, you know, I think Disney's got enough money. I don't think it's a problem.
Although you do have to be careful of the content you pick, because you remember that recent documentary on Netflix we were talking about, Don't Fuck With Cats?
Yes, yes.
There was a teacher who showed that.
Well, don't show that to kids.
To a class full of her students, leaving them, and I quote from The Sun, vomiting and traumatised.
Well, yes, don't show them. I mean, it's called Don't Fuck With Cats.
Yeah.
If you're a teacher, surely there's a bit of a clue there. That's not for kids.
I mean, I struggled to stomach watching some of that, but for children, what are you doing?
Mind you, my mate, who is now deputy head, right, when he was a teacher years ago, it was one of the big David Attenborough things that have been on telly, like Planet Earth or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And I'd been recording them at home on a DVD recorder, right? So he said, oh, Trev, can I borrow those? Because I think it'd be really good to show the kids. Now, these are year six kids, so they're on the cusp of secondary school.
10 or 11.
10, 11. And he showed them one of the episodes where there's a chase between two animals and one of them gets caught and eaten by the animal.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, Trevor, there's kids in tears. You know? And I think, well, that's all right, because that's a lesson that kids have got to learn, right? I mean, you watch Bambi, you know the mum gets fucking shot, spoiler alert, but it's about 80 years old, that film. you know, that's life. Don't Fuck With Cats is a very different thing.
It is. I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, would you be happy if your kid came home in floods of tears because they've been shown an animal getting its throat ripped out by a lion? It's not an easy one, is it?
No, I think at 10 or 11, I think that's fine. I was watching that as a kid.
It's easier to argue that is educational and nature. And
it's not someone murdering people on camera, is it? Do you know what I mean? It's not someone killing kittens in plastic bags.
Yeah.
It's a much more sort of, it's nature in action, right?
It is.
So just going back to Joe Lycett for a minute.
Yeah.
Changing his name to Hugo Boss. Have you ever thought about if you change your name, what you would change it to?
I've never really thought about changing my name.
Are you happy with your name?
Yeah, fairly.
See, I'm quite happy with mine. But some people think I shouldn't be.
Why?
Well, some people think the name Trev or Trevor, you know, it's a bit, like, you're a bit thick.
You don't meet many Trevors these days.
You don't really. I've rarely met any in my whole life. I've not really met many other Trevors.
I thought the Smith bit was what you were going to say, because that's a bit, you know, generic. It's a bit, you know, you meet 10 Smiths walking down the street, weren't you?
Yeah, when I was at school, right, there was another Smith in my class, right? but he was a little bit of a pompous ass.
Right.
And he once said, well, of course, when I'm older, I shall change it to Smythe. Fuck off.
Yeah, correct answer.
You should be proud of being a smith.
Yeah.
You know, it's a notice from a noble profession, for a start. What is harmer, that can't be profession, surely. I'm a professional harmer.
Yeah, I've got no idea where that comes from. No, I don't know. I've not really looked into it that much. Going back to Trev, do you not like the name Trev?
I'm very happy with the name.
Oh, you
Trev.
Are happy?
Yeah, but people sort of. I think because it's a name. When I was growing up, there was like a thing. People go, oh, Clever, Trevor, because I think it was a song that went like that.
Oh, I've never heard that.
I think it was a song in the 70s, and it kind of went on. And I don't really know why people would then associate that with being thick or being a bit chavvy, or you know, it's like being a Trev. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I'm very happy being a Trev.
I managed to terrify a child this week.
Well done. Would you want a medal for that?
No, I'm not proud
of it. You terrified a child.
I'm not proud of this. By the way, before I start this story, just to make sure in my own head that this is a familiar thing that everyone deals with.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do that thing where maybe you're walking around, maybe it's a cold day, a bit brisk, a bit fresh, and you haven't spoken in a while? And when you go to speak, you're suddenly very hoarse.
Oh, yeah.
So that isn't just me, no?
No, that happens. That's a weird thing that happens, because you then sort of go...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need to clear your throat desperately before you can make a noise. So I was walking around doing my deliveries, and I get to a house, ring on the doorbell.
Yeah.
No answer. And then this little girl walks up to the door, and of course it's a glass door, so she can see the big looming presence of 6'4" me.
Okay.
Standing looming over her.
But in a high-vis Royal Mail jacket.
Her dad, the person who the delivery's for, he's upstairs, and unfortunately he's just in the process of getting out of the bath.
Right.
So he's in no fit state to come down and open the door. So I'm stood there for about 5 minutes while the following conversation ensues, where she's going, Daddy, someone's at the door. Can you open the door? I can't come down. And then she looked back at me and said, I don't want to. And then she was basically terrified.
Don't want to what?
Open the door to me.
Oh.
And this conversation went back and forth for about 3 or 4 minutes. And I thought, I've got to deliver this parcel. It was quite an important one. Eventually, he coaxes her into opening the door.
Yeah.
So I've made my mind up what my game plan is here.
Has she got a sign for it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So I thought, what I need to do is I need to be as friendly as possible to alleviate any terror this girl has of the big scary man at the door.
Now, the one thing you should really do, here's my little tip, and I mean, I'm not a father, but I've got lots of godchildren, so this is what I find works, is you should crouch so you get down to their level.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of face on, then there's a comfort. So, because if they're looking up at you, and as you say, you're 6'4", so I'm assuming you did that, I'm assuming you crouched down and sort of got down to her level and went, hello?
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, right.
I should have done that. So what I did was, I sort of leaned in with the impression in my head that I'm about to say, hello, how are you today? I've got a parcel for your dad, if you wouldn't mind just signing in this little box for me. That's what was going through my head.
Are children allowed to sign for a parcel?
Oh, I don't know. Let's say
We learned of all the rules you broke last week. It seems like you've just given up with this position.
So, as I said earlier on, I had been walking around, fairly fresh, brisk day.
Yeah.
Hadn't said anything for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So when she opens the door, unfortunately, instead of saying what I wanted to say, I just sort of went, bruh, which scared the shit out of her.
Of course it would. How old was she?
About five.
Five?
Yeah.
Poor little thing.
And then she just didn't move. She was like a deer in the headlights, just staring back at this monster who's just grunted at her.
Now, didn't you then resolve the situation by then, you know, sort of going, oh, it's all right, it's all right, I've just got a parcel.
She was already terrified by that point. And then I leaned in with this scanning machine that she didn't know how to operate, and the whole thing...
Well, of course, she's fine.
It was a disaster from start to finish.
Did the dad appear in the end?
He poked his head round from the door and just says, mate, can you just sign it and be done with it? So I said, oh, right, okay.
Are you to do that?
I'm not.
So, I mean, honestly.
The little girl had already made a little squiggle in the box by that point, so I thought, fuck it, close enough.
Well, here's a question. How long do you give for somebody to answer the door when you've got a package? Because I don't think you give enough time as postman.
That's very much don't. At your discretion.
Yeah. I've watched people down my road, the postman knock on the door, literally give 10 seconds, and then start walking away again.
Well, you don't know what that that postman those, do you? You don't know that he might try and deliver there every day and they're never in. They might be at work. There's no car on the drive. There's lots of things that that postman might know that you don't.
I think there needs to be a suitable amount of time for somebody to get to the door.
You think if we've got to wait 2 minutes by your own rules based on no knowledge of the job, by the way, if we had to wait arbitrary 2 minutes at every door,
I think that
we
should
go home till 9 o'clock at night.
Tough shit, mate. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? It's like you're carrying out her royal, Her Majesty's Royal Mail delivery service. So you're working for the Queen, and surely that would be enough for you to give every hour that God sends, should that be needed.
Yeah, booking all that overtime at the end of the day, I'm sure they'd be thrilled with me,
So when this little girl opened the door,
yeah,
and the dad said he's in the bath,
mm-hmm.
was there a point where you just wanted to say, well, look, mate, it's nothing I haven't seen before, or just put a towel around you?
That's very inappropriate. I'm not sure you're supposed to coerce people into showing you themselves naked. What are you doing? I'd get sacked immediately.
But for frightening a little girl.
Well, that was unintentional. Fine.
But I mean, you know, can you just say, well, put a towel around you, mate? Come on.
Because once the
little girl's opened the door, you are now obliged to wait for this parcel to be delivered. You can't now not deliver the parcel, can you?
Well, I suppose I could have, but it would have been a real pain in the arse for this bloke to have to come down to the depot because I wouldn't hand it over.
My dad once ran down the stairs naked.
Really? You know what? A lot of blokes do it.
But that was really because I was terrified, right? I don't know how old I was, but I was probably about five or six, I'd think. Because it's one of my earliest memories. You know when you think back to one of your earliest memories? And I was terrified because it was a Saturday morning and the doorbell went. And I went to open the door and there was no one at the door, but the doorbell was still going.
Okay.
And I was like, how can the doorbell still be going when there's no one pressing the doorbell?
Right.
So I just screamed. I just screamed blue murder.
Yeah.
And my dad was upstairs. He'd probably had a bath or something. And the next thing, he's rushing down the stairs, stark bollock naked, with the front door wide open, by the way, because I've not shut the door. Because he just assumed that I was being murdered. And it was just that somehow, the connection of the wires in the bell they'd made a connection, so they were ringing the bell.
Yeah.
Even though nobody was there. It was fucking terrifying.
I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you this story, but I will anyway. Mrs. Ben, when she was very young and a child, she had a nightmare once in her sleep, obviously. So she woke up as a child screaming. And her dad, who was very protective, correctly so, he thought, what the hell's that noise? And came sprinting through the hallway to check on her and everything's okay. However, as he was running, he smashed his head off the side of the door. And
Jesus.
Then she's just woken up from a nightmare and her dad, in the dark, a man flies into her room, blood dripping down his face. What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah, that's going to scare you more. Well, you know that when you're a kid, though, things terrify you that shouldn't. I was once staying at my gran's house.
Yeah.
Right. And I was having a bath. And there's a window, and up on the window is a wasp. Now, I've never liked wasps.
No, I know.
And as a child, I was just absolutely terrified. So again, I screamed blue murder.
Of course.
And my nan came rushing in, and she afterwards said, I thought I was going to come in and find you in a pool of blood on the floor. And she came in, and there I'm just sitting in the bath, and she's like, well, and I point, and just a wasp. Wasped, and she did this thing where there's a scene in a James Bond film where I don't know which one it is, but there's a scene where there's a big tarantula spider climbing up some woman's leg or something, and James Bond gets a handkerchief, puts the spider in that, and then stamps it.
Oh,
gets a shoe, and then smashes this thing to death.
Bloody hell, that's a bit grim for James Bond, isn't it?
Basically, what my nan did with the wasp, got it in a handkerchief, got a shoe, and beat the living shit out of it. And I was very grateful for it because I was terrified.
Wow, I didn't know James Bond was so brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of the older films. It's one of the opening scenes, I think, in one of the James Bond movies. And the other time was, wasp related. And I was at the end of the garden. And you know there's those flies that look like wasps, but they're not.
Yeah.
And they sort of hover.
Those sort of imposters.
Yeah. It's like, you know, don't look like an arsehole. You know, if you're going to be an imposter, look like a fucking dragonfly or something.
Well, you want to look like something that people are going to try and avoid, don't you?
I suppose that's what nature is, but, you know, fucking arseholes. Because, you know, you're going to be killed by humans.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't give a shit about wasps. So I'm at the end of the garden, and there's a couple of these things flying around. I think they're wasps.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about them is when you move, they move.
Right.
And I was trapped at the bottom of the garden because I couldn't get by. Every time I move, they move.
Yeah.
And I was fucking terrified. Again, scream blue murder. My mum ran out, thought, you know, she was going to fight me decapitated at the end of the garden. I was like, what? And she went, they're not even wasps.
No.
Trev, they're not even fucking wasps.
Wasn't there a lovely story once of your mum leaping to your defence once again because a door was open? Was it a kitchen door?
A door was open.
Yeah. You heard a noise in the house. And it turned out it was a door banging in the wind. Your mum leapt up to fight off a burglar.
Is
this right?
Yeah, well, not quite. But yeah, my mum and I were in the house one evening. My dad and my brother were out somewhere. And we have, in my parents' house, they've still got them, like old sash windows.
Oh, right. Okay.
And one of the sashes broke and fell down within the window frame.
Yeah.
But of course, that sounds like someone's opening the window. And it was night and the curtains were closed. And I remember it so clearly because I thought, as my mum did, that somebody had opened the window and was going to climb in.
Yeah.
So I ran out the front room.
Of course you did.
I'd gone. But my mum...
Abandoned your mum, lovely.
Yeah. I was only about eight. Do you know what I mean? And my mum, bless her, I do always remember it. She jumped up and she put her fists up ready for a fight.
Wow.
And she went, "Who's there?"
No one.
And then there was no response and she realised it was just the sash broke.
I'm learning that the Smiths are quite easily startled.
Well, I think it's more... Well, no, it's me, really. Do you remember Fraggle Rock?
I have heard of Fraggle Rock. I have never seen a second of it.
Are you a bit too young for Fraggle Rock?
I am.
Wow, I love Fraggle Rock. I'd lend you that. I've got a Fraggle Rock DVD. I'll lend you that if you're interested.
I'm very sceptical.
Well, there's an amazing thing, right? So it was sort of puppets. It was all part of the Jim Henson stuff. So it's good quality puppetry. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But they lived on Fraggle Rock.
Okay.
Some lived below ground and the bigger things lived above ground. And there was a lighthouse keeper. Now, this is amazing, right? You can now go and stay at the lighthouse.
Really?
You can now book yourself a holiday in... it's in Cornwall.
So it wasn't just a set design, it was an actual...
It was place. An actual lighthouse.
Oh, wow.
And you can now go and book a holiday to stay at St. Anthony's Lighthouse in Cornwall. And I just thought, isn't that amazing? Like, I would love to go and stay. Basically, stay at Fraggle Rock.
That would be fun, I suppose, if you've seen the show. I haven't, but I'm sure it would be fun for you.
But is there anything, like, TV show places you would like to stay at?
I don't know about stay at, but I'd certainly like to go to some of the sort of well-known sets. And you know, I don't know if they preserve these sets or not, but like...
Some they do, like Lord of the Rings they do in New Zealand, because that's now a tour, isn't it? You can go to where they built all the Hobbit homes and stuff.
Right, okay. No, I was thinking like having a coffee at Central Perk in where Friends is set, and maybe a...
Does that really exist, though? I don't think that really exists, does it?
Like a beer on the set of Cheers, that would be fun.
Again, don't know if that exists.
So, I don't know. I can't really think of anywhere that... I don't know for certain exists.
Fraggle Rock's certainly up for me. I'd love to stay there.
Is Craggy Island from Father Ted, is that a real island?
I don't think it's called Craggy Island, but I think they filmed it on... Oh, no, I think it was just a place in Ireland.
No.
I don't know if it's a separate island at all. But you can go and stay... I think the house is owned by somebody.
I'm assuming that the hotel they shot Fawlty Towers in was a genuine hotel.
Well, the external shots were... But the internal was just a set.
For God's sake.
And the external, the hotel that they used for the external shots, that was demolished a couple of years ago. So you can't even go and stay there now.
Who allowed that to be demolished? Surely that's got some national heritage protection.
I must admit, I was fucked off when I heard they were doing that. There's absolutely no need to destroy it. Do you know what I mean? It's a place of heritage. I mean, the internal stuff, because it was shot in front of an audience, it was all set stuff.
See, I'm never sure when they're using a genuine audience or when it's canned laughter.
I think a lot of them, like Fawlty Towers definitely had a live audience.
Okay.
I think a lot of, like in the 1970s, a lot of the shows had genuine live audiences.
Right, okay.
A lot of the Americans do, don't they? They still use live audiences.
Yeah, I think they do, yeah.
And I think still here, a lot of them, I think they use canned laughter if there's, yeah,
basically if it's shit. So where would you most like to go and stay?
Well, Fraggle Rock's certainly up there, but I tell you where I would like to stay, and I think it's probably in Australia, but there was another lighthouse-based TV show when I was a kid.
I know what this is.
Do you know what it is?
Round the Twist?
Round the Twist.
Yes.
Have you ever felt like this? Strange things happen. Are you going Round the Twist? I'd love to stay there.
I have precisely one memory of Round the Twist.
Yeah.
Two memories. One memory was I fucking loved it.
Yeah, great show.
I can only remember one thing about the whole series.
Well, that's good, because I can't remember much other than the opening bits of the theme tune, which I've just given you. That's basically my memory, and the lovely lighthouse.
I'm sure there was an episode, or at least a bit of an episode, where there was a literal pissing contest, where the lads could see who could piss up the wall the furthest.
Really?
I'm hoping I haven't made that up, but that is the only memory I have from Round the Twist.
That's a rather, you know, considering I think the show was about creepiness, wasn't it? And the one thing you remember is a pissing contest.
Well, I think that you're saying it's about creepiness and stuff. There was some sort of ghost ended up possessing one of the boys to help him win this pissing contest. And I thought, what am I watching?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Like you're having your basically having your dong possessed.
Yeah, I may have got the facts slightly wrong. It was a long time ago and it's a very vague memory.
I don't want to get into too sort of, you know, base conversations here, but I'm not even talking about pissing up a wall, but I mean those strange childish competitions that you have when you're a kid. It might be pissing up the wall, it was certainly something that we did at school sometimes, but the one thing that I remember as a kid was it's one of my birthdays, I think like my eighth birthday or something, we just had belching competitions.
Really?
Yeah, because I had a mate who could talk whilst belching, and he could summon up some of the longest belches ever. So we'd get him to say words and long sentences whilst belching, and then the rest of us would try and match it. I could never do it that well.
It sounds like a bit of an art form.
Yeah, no, it certainly was an art form.
Yeah.
And it's one of the birthdays that often comes up when my mum talks about like my childhood birthdays. And she goes, well, of course, I can never forget the belching birthday. So it's known in the family.
It's like a legendary in the family. The belching birthday.
Well, that's just about it for another Trev and Ben podcast. I'm sorry if I got a bit ranty.
No, that's all right.
Going off on this one, but you know, it's been one of those weeks.
And
also, can I just say a little bit of sad news from the Trev household this week?
Go on.
Mr. Tortoise has passed on.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that.
I know. After, well, 50 odd years with my family, and I've been caring for him for 16 years, he's gone to the big garden in the sky.
Oh.
So I'm dedicating this podcast to the memory.
Lovely.
Of Mr. Tortoise. Now, just before we go, last week you gave me a great headline from a newspaper. I found one this week.
Oh, you've got one. I've got one too.
I got one. This was from physicsastronomy.com.
Okay.
And the headline was, Hubble just spotted something massive coming out of Uranus.
I mean, it's a childish joke, isn't it? But it's a goodie.
I mean, I don't know how genuine that is. I can only assume it is genuine, but it's probably doctored. But it's still funny, nonetheless.
Okay, well, I will put that against my one, which is undercover cops posing as drug buyers arrested by undercover cops posing as drug dealers.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So do send us any amazing headlines if you come across them. Also, footballer injuries, we're enjoying those.
Yep.
So keep those coming. Also, places you might want to stay from childhood TV shows.
That'd be
like
good.
Sesame Street. Again, I don't know if that exists as a real street. Be great to stay there, wouldn't it?
I want to stay the night in Oscar the Grouch's bin.
Would you? Yeah. Again, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? If you offered that, people would go for it.
Some people would pay for that.
As long as the street was like, you know, well protected. It was like within a hotel almost. It was like set up, but you know, you wouldn't just stay in a bin anywhere.
No, I imagine a lot of people would want to stay in the Downton Abbey castle.
Yeah, well, I haven't been in there, but I've been there a lot.
Is it a castle or a mansion?
It is known as a castle. It's Highclere Castle.
Okay.
So it is known as that. Yeah. But you can go and look around that. I don't know if you can stay there. I think you probably can.
Probably.
Yes, but you're right. Loads of people want to go. So anyway, let us know that. Get in touch with us about absolutely anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. Thank you for downloading. Do keep reviewing and subscribing. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.